Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in that wonderful name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to begin the broadcast today by sharing a passage found in Colossians, the second chapter, verse 19, which says, "And not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." Just a little earlier in that same chapter, verse 2 says, "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I was thinking, as I was reading some passages in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles, that we look back at Israel's history, and perhaps we would call David one of the greatest king of Israel. And yet, the mighty exploits that he did, the way that he expanded the kingdom, the way that God became the very center of his reign. Remember, the very first thing he did was to bring the ark to Jerusalem, to the city of David, and he never lost a battle. He was victorious, and of course, he's a type and a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we see that David was great not just because of the qualities that God had placed within his own character, but also he was surrounded by some wonderful men of God, wonderful, mighty men, warriors that were faithful to him and loyal to him throughout his reign. For example, in 1 Chronicles, the 10th chapter, in verse 14, it does mention at that point that that was when the kingdom came to David, the son of Jesse, and because Saul did not inquire of the Lord, that he slew him, and the kingdom was turned unto David, the son of Jesse. And then in that 11th chapter, in verse 10, it says, "These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, and with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel." You know, so often we have a tendency to look at the prominent figurehead. For example, someone who might head up a ministry, or someone, you know, a very well-known pastor. And yet, in any of those positions of leadership, it's because of the faithful support and loyalty of those that God has called to walk and work with them that they have the success they do. And this was certainly true in David's time. In chapter 12, and in verse 1, and of course, in these chapters that I'm referring to, there's an actual listing by name of each of these mighty men of valor. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now these are they that came to David in Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow." Even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. And then they go on specifically in that chapter to list them by name. A little further in that chapter, verse 16 says, "And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold," that's the stronghold, "unto David. And David went out to meet them, and answered and said unto them, If ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon, and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. So it's a wonderful, I think, touch of the Holy Spirit, how he chose men that we don't really know much about, except it was important to list them because they were those who contributed to the success of David's life and reign. And these mighty men were great because of their what they did in behalf of David and what they did in behalf of their country, Israel. In verse 17, we see that, you know, David actually, he approached the men coming from Benjamin. He said, you know, are you really going to be friends, or are you going to side with my enemies? And he, having the discernment of the Holy Spirit, surrounded himself with those who were going to be mightily used of God to secure God's purposes. And that's true even in our own lives. God wants us working together. Remember at those scriptures I shared in Colossians, we are knit together. There's the head, which is the Lord Jesus, but the body has joints, and we're nourished and ministered and knit together, and we increase with the increase of God. What these mighty men did, they established David as king. They slew the enemies of Israel. They slew the Philistines, and they were used as vessels to save all of Israel. There's an example of the courage and bravery of these men that is described in chapter 11, verse 16. And it says, And David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate. And the three brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord, and said, My God forbid it me, that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest. So that's just an example of how that, you know, they were fearless. And David is actually not even mentioned in these chapters except for this incident. And he, of course, repented of his own weakness, and he denied his own appetite. He just would not gratify a foolish fancy. See how loyal those men were, wanting to please him, that they risked their lives. And also it shows his devotion toward God. He offered that water to the Lord as a drink offering. And it also shows the love and appreciation of his servants, those three brave men that risked their lives for him. On in the 11th chapter, in verse 46, it talks about Ithma the Moabite. So one of his mighty men were actually a Moabite. And in verse 39, it says Zelek the Ammonite. And one was an Ammonite. Now, if you remember from the law, Deuteronomy 23:3, the law said that an Ammonite or a Moabite might not enter the assembly of the Lord. But these two men must have apparently shown themselves so strongly united with the king and so heartily supportive of the vision of Israel that the law was dispensed with, an indication or a type and a foreshadowing, if you will, that the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, would have worthy men also among the Gentiles. The prophet Hananiah said to Asa, king of Judah, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Well, there's another passage that I would like to share. I think it's just really interesting because so often we focus on main characters like Paul in the New Testament or David in the Old Testament, but it's really fascinating and interesting to see what others did in service of the Lord, that they also were being used of God. And in 1 Samuel the 23rd chapter, verse 16, there's an account of the son of Saul, whose name was Jonathan. And in verse 16, it says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house." So I'd like to share now, start reading some of the text of a very, and I think that we'll find application for our lives in 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, verses 1 to 3. And now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, son of Saul, said unto his young man that bear his armor, "Come, and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. At any rate, let's go down to verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bear his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by a few." And his armor bearer said unto them, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee, according to thy heart." Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them." This was quite a plot. "And if they say unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." Well, I need to stop right here, and we're going to pick up on tomorrow's broadcast right here and find the exploits that Jonathan and his armor bearer did, because he, the Lord, honored the words that Jonathan said. God can save by many or by a few. Praise God. Aren't you glad for that? Well, as I bring this broadcast to a close, I want to thank you so much for listening and being with me today, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. The announcer is going to give you our contact information, and if you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, won't you take a moment and jot down that contact information? God has a blessing for you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.